sin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what a child of God must be and do under pressures, right? We were talking about pressures. All of you are going to experience pressures in this school year. What else? What other Psalms did we look at? Yeah. Psalm what? Psalm 1. What's Psalm 1 about? Okay. Yeah. Can you tell me anything about anything else about Psalm 1? No. Just putting you on the spot. Yeah. And what marks the righteous and the wicked in that passage?
The difference between them, or that one set apart from the other.
Yeah, what sets them apart?
Wisdom and not being a scoffer, humility, I guess.
Okay. Pride and humility, yeah, scoffing at wisdom. What's going on with the righteous? What's their delight in? Is what I'm asking. Yeah, law of the Lord, right? Yeah, law of the Lord, in His law he meditates day and night. We talked. What other psalm did we look at together? You guys remember? Not Psalm 23. That's a good one though. Not 1 John. That's not a psalm. Psalm 12. We looked at Psalm 12. You guys remember that? What was going on in Psalm 12? You guys remember? What? We didn't remember the number. Sorry. You don't need to remember the number. Psalm 12. What was going on in Psalm 12? Anything you could recall? Yeah.
Like who we put our trust and confidence in.
Okay. Who we put our trust and confidence in? What's our options?
Sin or God.
Okay. Yes. It was more specific than that. People, yep, the word of man or the word of God, right? Remember that? We looked at mankind. Let's look at Psalm 12. Look at Psalm 12 really quick, and then we'll go to our psalm that we're going to study tonight. Psalm 12. Mankind puts their trust in their own lips, in their own tongues, and what they could accomplish with their words, with their scheming, with their, with the power of their words. Psalm 12. Verse 2, everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. And so David's looking around saying, man, everyone is just marked by this lying and manipulating. Verse 3, may the Lord cut off, there's that judgment, all flattering lips. The tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, right? Hey, I can accomplish anything in life. I can manipulate however I want to manipulate. Why? Because I have my tongue. My tongue's going to get me where I want to go. And so they say, with our tongue we'll prevail. Our lips are with us. We have this secret weapon, and it's our words. We can manipulate, maneuver in any way we want. And so he says, who is master over us? But who starts speaking in verse 5?
The Lord.
The Lord, right? All of a sudden, it's no longer the schemers who are speaking, and the Lord starts speaking. Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, in other words, all this manipulating and lying I've been doing, the Lord actually saw all of that the whole time. Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him, that is, the poor and the plundered. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The Lord does defend his people and protects his people, even from the manipulations of mankind, no matter how powerful man thinks he is. And then what do we read? Verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. In other words, you contrast mankind's words, the boasting in their own tongues and lips, and they think that their word is the most powerful, and yet what does David say? The Lord's words are uber pure, not one blemish or flaw. It's like they've been purified seven times in the furnace. And so he says, verse 7, you, O Lord, will keep them. Your word is going to be faithful. You will guard us from this generation forever. So we contrasted, hey, listen, are you going to trust in the words of man, which actually man has a lot to say? they're pumping words to you all the time, and your own heart is pumping words to you all the time? Or are you going to trust in the Word of God? And we're going to wrap up this little mini-series on just looking at God's Word in the life of a believer from the Psalms. We're going to wrap it up with Psalm 19. All right, so that's going to be our final psalm in this little mini-series looking at various psalms. Psalm chapter 19. And this is a really neat psalm. How many of you are familiar with Psalm 19, like without even having to look at it? You're a little familiar with it. Verses 1 through 6 are going to talk about what we might call general revelation, or Dr. Zemek puts it, God's nonverbal communication, just looking around at his creation. We're going to be reading about what he's revealed about himself in his creation. And then we're going to see something much more glorious and incredible, which is the Word of God. We have God's Word in the Scriptures. Friends, in this little mini-series, I just want you guys to be struck with this. This is the Word of God. Do we stop and think about that? You know, there's a danger of a casualness around God's Word and a casualness that leads you to not submit to it, right? A casualness of, listen, I'm going to position myself over God's Word and judge it, right? Rather than under God's Word. If we position ourselves over God's Word, what's going to happen to our hearts? Our heart is going to harden in unbelief, right? Whereas Isaiah 66:2, who is it that the Lord looks to? It is those who are humble and contrite, and Isaiah 66:2 trembles under my word, fears the Lord, fears the voice of the Lord in his word. And so as we look at Psalm 19, and we're going to turn that corner from verse 6 to verse 7 to look at, wow, we have the law of God. We have the law of the Lord. We have the Word of God in our hands, God's Word. So let's read this psalm and follow along with me as I read it. We may not get through, in fact, we won't get through the whole psalm tonight, all right? But there will be a part two to this at some point. But we'll read together Psalm 19. So follow along with me as I read. Psalm 19, to the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look at this psalm together, I pray, Lord, that you truly would be glorified tonight. Lord, I pray that you would grip every heart in this room with the reality that you are God alone, that it is your word that prevails, and it is your word alone that we need. You have the words of eternal life. So, Lord, do that work. Thank you that you are greater than every human heart. Lord, and you can cause any to bow their knee. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that work. Lord, for those who are your children in this room, Lord, I pray that they would be strengthened and edified as they consider again that they can run again and again to your word, and it is sure. It never fails. And Lord, it does in fact revive our soul. It gives us spiritual vitality. And so, Lord, be glorified tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're looking at Psalm 19. Let's look at verse 1. And this is talking about creation in general, right? And what does God reveal of himself through his creation? Verse 1, the heavens declare. The heavens declare something. What are the heavens? The skies above, right? How many of you love looking at the sky? Yeah? I think we all do, right? How many of you have been under a night sky where it's like, it's just a hard to fathom number of stars you're looking at? Have you guys ever experienced that? Man, when you do that, the first thought you think is, I'm pretty great, right? No, that isn't the first thought that should come into our minds anyways. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. That word declare means to make known. It's detailing something. It's spreading information. So the skies are spreading information. And this verb, it's continuous action. So this is nonstop spreading of information. It's like news 24/7 happening. What news are the heavens spreading? Well, it says the heavens declare, the heavens make known the glory of God. The heavens declare God's glory. God's glory. It's a word we hear often, his glory. What does it mean? It means his perfections, his splendor, his magnificence, his honor, even as a king. You think about, watching some of the pomp and circumstance of what some countries go through to try to make their dictator or leader look great and wonderful. Well, that's an empty glory. And yet, friends, the Lord's glory is true, and it is written all over the skies. It is declaring it constantly. He is splendid. He is magnificent. He is perfect. So when we talk about his glory, we're talking about who he is in his perfections. So what are the skies broadcasting? What are the skies broadcasting to you? When you look up at the sky, what is it telling you? It is telling you God is glorious. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. This idea of proclaiming, it's once again, it's continuous action, so it's nonstop. And it's the idea of reporting. It's reporting something. The heavens are doing nonstop reporting work. And again, what we ask, what are they reporting about? 24/7, what are the skies reporting? They're reporting, it says, his handiwork. That which his hands have made. Now, friends, let me ask you this. How did the Lord create everything? By speaking, right? His word. And yet here it says his handiwork. So what's going on here? This is poetic language. You think of something that's handcrafted, right? What does it mean that something's handcrafted? What do we usually mean by that? Just looks, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it's someone's taken time and excellence and skill. They've put forth their skill in order to make something incredible. And so the scripture's talking about the sky declaring and proclaiming his handiwork, that which his hands have made. If he could, the skies declare, if he could with his hands make us, the heavens, then observe how glorious and excellent he is. The skies are reporting, look at how glorious and good your God is. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. This is nonstop, 24/7 reporting to you about the glory of God. Verse 2, day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. So first, day to day pours forth speech. What is that talking about? That's talking about our daytime, right? Every day, the heavens are doing the same thing. Every day, what are the skies doing today? Let me go outside and check. Oh, they're pouring out speech about their Creator. Well, but what about nighttime? What do they do at night? Well, he says, day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's again this revelation of who God is through the heavens. Day to day, night to night, the skies above are doing what the Lord has designed them to do. They are broadcasting his own greatness. He is displaying his greatness through the skies. And so the writer continues. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, I go outside, you know, I wake up, I go out. You guys don't get the newspaper anymore, do you? There's no newspaper. Does anyone get the newspaper still at their house? Few of you, all right. You go outside and do whatever you do outside, and you're thinking, wait a minute, I don't hear any words. I don't hear. So we went through this psalm with our kids recently, and, you know, I said, hey, you know, the skies are going like this. God is glorious. And Layton really locked onto that. And we were at the dentist office the next day. And we were in the waiting room. And I was doing paperwork. And I just hear behind me, God is glorious. It was really cute. I loved it. But there is no audible, God is glorious, right? So someone might be thinking, wait a minute, I don't hear that from the skies. Well, verse 3, David says, there is no speech, right? We don't hear. That would be pretty intense, by the way, wouldn't it? If you went outside, God is glorious. So that would be intense, nonstop, every day, morning and evening, just that being broadcasted. Boy, that would be interesting, you know. The Lord didn't design it like that, but what would our sinful hearts do with that? Who knows? But there's no constant voice, right? But friends, this is entirely the point. Though they are reporting and declaring information, it's not audibly heard, but look at what he says. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. This isn't audibly heard, but in fact, what God has designed the skies to do is actually coming out loud and clear nonstop. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So the word voice here, when it says their voice, verse 4, their voice goes out through all the earth, it's probably actually the word line. Their line goes out through all the earth. Sometimes that word line it refers to a measuring line. And so this can be kind of confusing to understand. So because of that, some translators assumed this must have been a typo by a copyist somewhere. So instead of the word line, kawam, in Hebrew, they figured this must be kolam, the Hebrew word for voice. Therefore, if you have an ESV, you have that footnote. Do you see that in your ESV? This could be voice, or they put that footnote at the bottom, or their measuring line. I believe this is actually kawam, meaning line, but not measuring line. This word, line, is actually in Isaiah 28, and it has the idea in Isaiah 28 of a line of a text, not like a text from your phone, like a text from like something written, so something which is to be read. So when it says in verse 4, their voice or their line goes out through all the earth, or has gone out through all the earth, it is as if the skies cannot be heard, but they can be clearly read, right? They can be perfectly understood as to what they are declaring, even though there is no audible voice. That's what the author is, that's the point he's making. The writer says, the line of the skies, the words of the heavens, have gone out even to the end of the world. Think about that, friends. Where are you going to go to hide from this nonstop reporting of the glory and power of our God? Right, on planet Earth, can you stand somewhere, other than, you know, an umbrella or something? Can you stand somewhere where you can escape this nonstop reporting of what God's creation is telling you, what the heavens are declaring? No, you can't escape it. He says their words go even to the end of the world. So God has designed this earth with this nonstop choir surrounding you in the sky that is declaring God is glorious. He is a glorious and mighty God. And the author continues when he talks about the skies here, verse 4. He says, in them, that is, in the skies, in the heavens, in them he has set a tent for the sun. And does that kind of sound strange to you? You're like, wait a minute, I don't see a tent in the sun anywhere. Or a tent, you know, in the sky for the sun to go into. Well, this is likely poetic language referring to the nighttime. So the sun, you know, comes up during the day and goes into its tent at night. And then we ask, what does it do the next day? It comes out of its tent, and it goes back into its tent, right? And so he's using poetic language here. In the heavens, he's set up this tent for the sun, verse 5, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. What's a bridegroom? A guy getting married. Well put. That's the dictionary definition right there. A guy getting married, right? So he's saying, look, the sun rises in the morning, and if I were to personify the sun, I would say he's like a guy getting up on his wedding day. And so I ask you, do you think that guys on their wedding day are very sad? What do you think? They shouldn't be, right? That would be very discouraging. No, a bridegroom is far from disappointed when he wakes up the morning of his wedding. That was a weird feeling the morning I woke up and realized, wow, to quote a song, today's the day I'm going to get married. I don't know. I wasn't quoting that song. I was thrilled, right? There wasn't that like groggy, like, oh man, no. Like, I just want to soak in my sheets. And no, it was bing, right? Wedding day. I thought about as I was reading this. How many of you guys, is Emperor's New Groove too old for you guys? Have you guys ever? No? Okay, good. I just pictured, you know, like Cusco, like the door slamming open. Yeah, baby! You know. He's just full to the brim with happiness and excitement. So yeah. Yeah, Emperor's New Groove, Cusco, yeah, baby, is how it's in my note. Yeah. So, Mark, do you remember your wedding morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you fired up? Patrick, do you remember your wedding morning? Were you fired up?
I was nervous.
You're nervous and fired up? Where's Nate? Is Nate in the house? He's studying. Oh, I'm sorry to call him out. He's being godly, studying somewhere. I'm sure he was fired up this morning. All that to say, the son is pictured as a thrilled groom coming out in the morning, just doors open, bang. And what's the son so excited about? Why is he so excited to leave his chamber? And to ask it this way, how many of you have watched a sunrise? Okay, as you sit and watch the sunrise, why is Psalm 19 saying that that sun is personified as being thrilled to get up in the morning with you? Why is it so fired up? Because it's excited to report the excellencies of its creator. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. The sun is designed for this. And it is as if it gets up every morning thrilled. I get to declare again that my God is glorious. Again, is the sun alive? No. It's being personified here. What's that communicating? God's creation is screaming to you. God is glorious. He's powerful. He's majestic. And the son is not only pictured as an excited bridegroom ready for his wedding day, he's also pictured as a strong man fit for his job. It says, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. This strong man is someone who is mighty. They're in peak physical condition. It's the Hebrew word for a mighty man. A manly man, so that they're able to complete the task that they have at hand. Oftentimes it was used for someone in battle. They're mighty in battle. Here, this mighty man is running his course. You watch the Olympians running, and they are fired up to run. They're excited to run. We could say they run their course with joy. Why? Because they're built for it. And they're ready to do so with vigor and strength. So if I'm lined up against Usain Bolt, and I was told, Marcus, you have to win this race, would I be fired up? Hey, what are you guys saying? No, I wouldn't be fired up. I would be in despair. Why? Because there is absolutely no chance. Even if he gets injured, he'll still beat me. There's no chance I'm getting anywhere near Usain Bolt. I'm not built for that task. I'm not going to run that course with joy. Instead, I'm in despair. Well, the son is pictured as a mighty man who runs with joy. Why? Because it's built for this. Man, a runner feels like, I was born for this, right? Mark, when you played football, did you feel like, man, I'm a football player? Yeah? But the son says, so to speak, man, I love this. I am fired up. Why? I was made for this. I'm built for this. This all-day run is a run that glorifies my creator. I get to report his excellencies to human beings as I run. And the sun is fired up. Man, this is why I was made, to glorify my God. Where's the sun headed, by the way? Verse 6. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. So all the way across the sky, the sun runs. That's a pretty far run, isn't it? You go somewhere, maybe you're in the mountains or something, you have a clear view of, you know, way that way and way that way, and the sun runs all the way across the sky. That's a big run. Yet it's like a mighty man. It makes a run no one else can run. God created the sun not only to bring life to this planet, but also to declare his glory all day, every day as it moves across the sky, day after day after day. Day to day pours forth speech, and his son is declaring to you, your creator is powerful and glorious. its reporting always reaches its intended audience. To where, by the way, Romans 1 says, listen, God's divine power and the fact that he is God and creator, Romans 1 says it's obvious to every man and woman on planet Earth. If someone claims to be an atheist, you can look right past that and say, no, Scripture says you know. You know. Why? One, because the Lord has placed that inside of you. Two, because you have a conscience that accuses you. Three, because creation around you is screaming it. And you hear that speech every day, all day. And yet, what do? You suppress the truth and unrighteousness. That's what we all do. We're all truth suppressors apart from Christ. But David says, its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them. And he says, there's nothing hidden from its heat. In other words, everyone is an observer of this guy's run. Think about that. Do you like everyone on planet Earth watching you run? No. But God has designed this to where we see the sun run every day, this run where he's declaring God's glory. And it's not just that we see him, friends. Look at this. He says, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. It's not just that this testimony of God's glory is something that we see. It's also something that we feel. We feel this runner's heat as it runs through the sky, declaring God's glory, especially in Florida, by the way. Man, it is incredible, the sun here. You just feel that heat. So both visually and by feeling, we take in the message of this runner. God is glorious. It's neat. We at our former church, had a sweet young gal in my youth group who was blind. And we talked about this passage together. Why? Because though she could not see the testimony of the sun, she could feel the testimony of the sun every day. It was even reaching that sweet girl, Madison. The testimony of God's glory through the testimony of his creation, through the sun. There's nothing hidden from its heat. Okay. We ask the question, is there anything better than this nonverbal communication by our God, which every day declares, God is glorious, God is glorious, God is glorious? What can be better? What can be more glorious than this day in, day out testimony? What can be more precious to us than this testimony that we hear every day? And when we go outside and we look at his creation, we go outside at the nighttime and we see the stars that are proclaiming his glory. What can be more excellent than that? And what, by the way, can restore your soul? What can fill you with wonder and praise? What can even have life-transforming power in your heart? What can be better than this testimony that you hear from God's creation? You know the answer, friends. As delightful as God's creation is to us, and a sweet common grace it is, and just the privilege of seeing God's glory throughout his creation. And Patrick and Courtney, you guys just went on a trip recently hiking, and I'm sure there's just jaw-dropping moments, right? Just seeing the splendor of God's glory. And I'm sure all of you guys can think back to times where, man, what an amazing beauty in God's creation. It is a kind common grace of the Lord. Listen, friends, it is God's word that is more precious to us. God's word, the scriptures, avails to us what we could not even imagine. For example, the word gives spiritual life. The word gives relationship with your creator. The word gives knowledge about our holy God. The word gives God's plan of salvation for us from our sin and rebellion. The word gives us sufficient wisdom on how to serve and please him in this life. It gives us clear instructions on how to navigate this life unto his glory. It gives us assurance of the hope that is to come for us. Friends, we have the word of God, the testimony of our Creator in his written word. And we're going to look at the preciousness of that together. The next time we open up this psalm, I'm not sure when it'll be, so I'm leaving you hanging a bit. But as glorious and amazing as his creation is, friends, I can't wait for us to together just consider and have our jaws drop. Wow, we have God's very word in the scriptures. Well, friends, that you would love his word, that you would run to it. Let's pray together. Lord, certainly your creation does proclaim your glory and your excellencies, and we can't get away from it. Lord, even if we were to try to hide altogether from your creation, Lord, it's still around us screaming your glory and your excellence. And Lord, we are truth suppressors apart from your grace. But Lord, that does not give us an excuse to suppress truth. Lord, if anyone here would recognize, I am one who has been suppressing the truth and attempting in vain to press the mute button on what the skies and God's creation is screaming at me every day. Lord, I pray that you'd break their hearts now, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd send them running to their Savior. And Lord, again, we ask that we would truly be people of your word. Lord, that we would not forget that it is your word alone on which we live. And Lord, whenever in faith we move toward your word, Lord, we are certainly never disappointed, because your word is exactly what we need. And yet, Lord, at times we believe our flesh, and we even at times run away from your word. Lord, how foolish. And so, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to remember in times of temptation, even as we are tempted by the allurements of sin and false refuges, Lord, that you would call to mind what we know from your word about the scriptures, and that we would instead run to you in your word. And we ask these things, Lord, ultimately for your glory. Amen.